Hello, and thank you for joining us today. I am Lila Glasso-Francis. I am the president of the Carolyn Glasso Bailey Foundation, and I'm happy to share with you today a podcast that was completed over the Fierce Generosity Carolyn Glasso Bailey Memorial Exhibition Weekend. You're going to hear the voices of our Artist Award Recipient of the Year, Rob Fisher, and one of our board trustees, Alan Polsky, both dear, dear friends of my sister Carolyn throughout her lifetime, both supporters of her both professionally and personally. This was a really neat afternoon where Alan was just able to talk to Rob casually about his work and specifically about the public art sculpture created for the foundation. Please enjoy.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Alan Polsky. I was a longtime friend of Carolyn's. I started out as a collector and then passed inspection and became a dear friend for probably close to 30 years. Rob Fisher, who is also, I'm lucky enough to count amongst my friends, was also a friend and an associate of Carolyn's. They worked together countless times, obviously. And Rob is the first visiting artist recipient here at the Carolyn Glasso Bailey Foundation. And it's a very exciting inaugural. They had a long history together. They worked together professionally. They were friends. We all spent a tremendous amount of time together. So this is a really interesting way to set this off. I will tell you from the outset that this is not, those of you who brought your art history majors and your curatorial expertise, you'll have to keep it to yourselves. This is going to be a much more informal conversation about sort of myself, our relationship. We're not going to talk about me that much. We're going to talk about Rob more. And sort of the process and really what it means to have created this piece for the foundation. So, Rob, I guess the first thing, maybe you can introduce yourself and then talk a little bit about being the inaugural artist in this program.
I'm Rob Fisher, and met Carolyn. I knew who Carolyn was for a long time before I met her. We were both from Minneapolis, and she moved to New York to start her gallery. But when she was in Minneapolis, she had a gallery, and I knew who she was from when I started college. And met her then in New York and started showing with her at her gallery a couple months after we met, and we became really good friends. She was with that gallery. She had a gallery for 4 or 5 years. I can't remember, a few years anyways. And I did 2 shows with her there and then started working with her outside of there came to Ojai, stayed with her and Chris multiple times, working on projects and a couple months at a time, a couple of times. And yeah, we became really good friends.
It's fair to say she got pretty involved in your process from time to time.
Oh, yeah. Tell me what to do.
So talk a little bit about, we don't have the sculpture here. Obviously, people are listening, can't see the sculpture. So talk a little bit about what you created as a part of this exhibit.
The sculpture is 3 large panes of glass that are all about 4 feet by 8 feet high, and they lean on each other. They're panes of glass that have been cut into multiple pieces and reassembled. They're in steel frames. They're colored with inks that make sort of bands of color down the center of them. The 3 of them then lean on each other. It was one of the probably the first, maybe the only time I've ever done a piece that was as directly representational of another person and of a relationship. Normally, the pieces are a lot more metaphorical, a lot less direct. The meanings kind of develop in making them. The feelings of them develop in making them. But this piece had a really direct goal for me of sort of expressing my relationship with her, representing her and her family, and our relationship. And so it was a really different way for me working.
So let's follow up on that just for a second. So you've been commissioned for other pieces before, but they've been that. They've been commissions where maybe it was site-specific or something like this, but this was more thematic or personal than that. So how do you, so you talked about it a little bit, but it's still, you're still looking for it to have a connection to your larger body of work, right? I mean, it's still Rob Fisher.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Talk a little bit about how you balance that out.
Most commissions, it's an opportunity to do a new piece or a larger piece or a site-specific piece that relates to the environment or the landscape or the building or whatever. But in this case, I mean, I suppose I could have done whatever I wanted to, but it just felt like the right thing to do something that was really specifically about Carolyn. And so I'd been making for a few years, making these pieces that are glass, oftentimes rooms, where I'll color pieces of glass and cut them apart and reassemble them and make these sort of collages of the glass and then make rooms out of them. And so this is a sort of a version of that. One of them was going to be, one of these glass pieces was going to be this series of panels that were going to sort of represent a room as part of this bigger series of sculptures I'm doing for Park Avenue in Manhattan for next summer. One of the rooms was going to be four big walls that had these bands of color up the center that would sort of look like curtains. And so this is a sort of extrapolation from that, where it ended up being, rather than the four panels, it's the three of them. They lean on each other like cards, but they still have those bands of color down the center. And the bands of color then ended up feeling more representational of like figurative more so than curtains like they did in the bigger pieces.
And you told me the other day you thought that in this case the colors were meant to express some level of chaos, right?
Yeah, they. I realized that as I was going along with this that I kept moving away from like shades of colors and just kept going back to these really bold primary and secondary colors, but really bold colors. And every time I would try to bring some sort of muted colors into it, I just remove them again and put these bolder colors back on. And I realized that it ended up, that it was developing this sense of like a really strong, not quite aggressiveness, but almost, and this sort of chaotic feel in it that I realized started to feel, it was feeling appropriate to the piece, that there was a sort of defiance to it that I think Carolyn, I mean, she had all through her life, I think, but she, especially towards the end of her life, she had a little defiant feel to her, that this piece, with those bolder colors like that, and there's almost, I mean, there's an organization to it, but there's a sort of chaotic feel to the sort of, composition of the colors too, that just felt just right to, you know, expressive of who she is and how it feels.
So as somebody who knew Carolyn pretty well, you kind of walked away from the word aggressive, and you can hang on to that one, because that would be would be another good one.
You may. I won't.
Oh, you're just being kind. But it is, I know we talked about that the other day, but it is interesting to hear you talk about that, because I think that's where the piece gets very personal for you. And that's kind of that idea about how this is really a very different piece in sort of your process.
Yeah.
It's unique to a personal experience,
yeah,
as opposed to trying to fit it into the narrative of what you do. This is where me not being an art historian and curator, my words will fail me slightly.
Yeah.
But I think you hopefully know what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Or not.
No, I think. A lot of times with these sculptures, it's like a matter of creating layers where recently, and especially with these colored pieces, the first layer, like the facade of the piece, is these the colors that are a lot of times really beautiful and joyful and intentionally like joyful, like a like strictly a facade of that to help balance other parts of sculptures. And in this case, I intended this to have that sense of an initial sense of just like beautiful colors that then you realize, like, soon after, that it's actually chaotic and it's actually aggressive, if you want to use that word. And not just beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's,
I mean, because at first glance, when I look at the piece, I don't see them as being that discordant, but I appreciate what you're saying, but it's not...
Well, there's not much calmness to the colors, for sure,
yeah,
and to the arrangement. They have, the, you know, the three...
They're not warm colors. Yeah.
They have three panels. And actually, at one point, I had started changing them all to reds, yellows, so that when... Actually, when you walk around the piece, since it's three panels, they dealt two of them... Two of the, one of the colors, one of the panels will be directly perpendicular to you, so you can't see it. So the other two, they sort of, the colors will interlock, and then as you move around them, they separate again, and then the next two seem to interlock. And then, but that, when it was mostly reds and yellows and oranges, it actually felt like a fire. And as you moved around it, it felt like this fire that was like flickering like that.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was too, I don't know, it seemed like a an effect in that regard, but not effective as a...
You needed more subtle.
Yeah. So I went to another unsubtle place and put a whole ton of colors in there.
Well, it's interesting because I'm looking at the floor piece here on the wall with the blocks of color like that. It's actually not that different
right.
than sort of what you're doing, because that was... I mean, you talked about that earlier today. That was, you know, assembled. It was originally a very specific pattern, but now it becomes more of a chaotic, or like you called it earlier, modernist design.
Yeah.
Which is sort
which
of
is
going on
to,
in the piece.
Yeah. And other pieces that I've done like this have had more of a modernist feel to them. Like sometimes like this, like verging on sort of Mondrian-esque, but always as like a facade of something, or you know, a single layer that is. Only the top layer of a layered meaning.
Did we talk enough about the piece?
Yes, we did.
So tell me a little bit more about what you're working on and your project next summer.
It's a series of sculptures for Park Avenue, Manhattan, that together... Outdoor sculptures. They go in the median of Park Avenue. And together they make one
apartment.
It's
where they have all those tall buildings, right?
Yeah. It goes between the tall buildings. Yeah. And together, the sculptures all make one house or apartment, like a glass house, that is then cut apart into these separate rooms that are all abstract quite a bit from that. And so that's most of them. They go...
It's a temporary installation.
5 months, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who's the sponsor of that?
There's a committee that
okay.
does it.
The public art committee,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm working on that, and then a show at Derek Eller's for... Maybe November, but...
This year,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. But we just started talking about maybe postponing that a bit, too. So.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
One brother, two sisters. One sister that somehow found out about this podcast and
well, she's
texted me this
mentioned.
Morning
yeah.
to find out how she could listen in. I told her she couldn't.
I have one brother.
Older or younger?
He's older.
Yeah. Where does he live? Milwaukee?
He lives in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Don't you want to ask me any questions?
How did you meet Carolyn?
I met Carolyn, I've been asked that several times this weekend. I met her, I think she was 19 years old. She started, her and Kim Montgomery, before they opened the gallery in Minneapolis, were doing some very preliminary private dealing. She had started in another gallery at 16. Again, you sure we can't use the word aggressive? Then they founded Montgomery Glasso at 19. And then I actually started, you know, the first art I ever bought was out of that program. And then I continued, my checkbook continued following her around when she moved to California, then when she moved to New York, and then when she moved back to California. I mean, so many artists that she worked with early in their career, like yourself or Todd, you know, Dave Rathman, you know, it was, the collaboration was really remarkable, and it was exciting to be a part of that.
Yeah. And then we'd all travel together, too. Carolyn
right.
would arrange.
Yeah, we
and
took
everybody
trip
would
to Mexico
just do whatever
City.
She said. Yeah.
Yeah. And she
fun.
Said, yeah, she wants to announce
say, we'll
that
go to Mexico
we're
City
all going to Mexico City.
Chris's birthday.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd all be there.
It was really pretty remarkable. You pretty much did whatever she told you to. those of you who in the room who knew her, I'm sure would wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
It's just easier that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
How'd I do?